I hear the voice of my grandmother calling me. I hear the voice of my grandmother calling. Wake up, wake up. She says, wake up, wake up. Listen, listen. Listen, listen. May the rivers all run free. May the mountains be unspoiled. May the air be pure. May the trees grow up tall. May the earth be shared by all. I hear the voice of my grandmother calling me. I hear the voice of my grandmother calling. Wake up, wake up. She says, wake up, wake up. Listen, listen. Listen, listen. May the rivers all run free. May the mountains be unspoiled. May the air be pure. May the trees grow up tall. May the earth be shared by all. May the air be pure. May the trees grow up tall. May the earth be shared by all.
Hello and welcome to the Womb Centered Healing Podcast. Before we get started with this episode, I'd like to share with you a few announcements about what's going on in the Womb Centered Healing Temple, which is an online space for womb-centered healing practitioners to collaborate and share the important work of womb-centered healing with the world. I'm Sama Morningstar, the founder of the Womb-Centered Healing Temple, and I'd like to invite you to visit the Womb-Centered Healing Temple website at wombcenteredhealing.com. And there you can sign up to receive the Womb-Centered Healing Temple newsletter, which will send you an email notification every time there's a new podcast episode out. And you'll also receive notifications about blog posts. And you'll also be notified when there's new events, courses, and things to look forward to. You can explore the website there and see a variety of online courses that are available to support your womb-centered healing journey. So I hope to see you there, signing up for the newsletter and perhaps for some courses and events. And otherwise, until then, enjoy this episode.
Hello, and welcome to the Womb-Centered Healing Podcast. And today I have Ancha Howard with me again for another discussion about today we're going to be talking about an ancestral arts collaborative workshop. Ancha and I have been collaborating, combining her therapeutic drawing process, neurographica drawing process, with the writing from the womb processes, therapeutic writing. And we've done a number of different collaborations. And recently she was telling me about a process that she was planning to do around ancestral healing, around becoming aware of our ancestral lineages through this drawing process. And I said, well, wow, this has been a big focus in the womb-centered healing work, and specifically with the writing from the womb, that has been a big process for me lately. And so it just seemed to fit perfectly together. And so we wanted to come on here and talk about that a little bit, and share more about it, and invite listeners to consider joining us for this journey. So it's coming up. The ancestral arts journey is coming up starting April 11th. Is that right for the first one, Ancha? And it will be a series of, I think, 6 live sessions online, right?
But the 11th is the 7th. So that's the one we do together, and it's going to be 6
Okay, so there are seven total. The first one is going to be, Anja and I will be there together, and we will do both a drawing and writing process. And then there will be six additional live processes where it will alternate between doing a drawing one and then a writing one, and then a drawing one and then a writing one. There'll be one each week for 6 weeks after that. And of course, there will be in between, there'll be support available in the online group and all of that. We wanted to share more about the details about it. Anja, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit more and share about how this drawing process that you're teaching and ancestral healing all came together for you.
So hello everyone again. My name is Antje Howard. And the ancestral drawing work, ancestral work, came to me with the passing away of my own grandmother last year. My grandmother was 98, huh, what am I talking about? And passed away in autumn last year while I was in my teacher training for Neurographica. I live in the US, she lives in Germany, so I could not go to the funeral, I could not meet my family, I could not do anything that you would usually do to say goodbye to a family member. And it was really hard for me because I had a very tight relationship with my grandma. I was one of two great granddaughters that she had, because all my family is a lot of men and a lot of boys. She herself had one daughter and five sons. And then of all of them, I have, I think, 12 male cousins and one female cousin. So I was one of the only girls. And I think that made my relationship to my grandma very, very strong, very tight. My grandma herself had 9 sisters. So she grew up in a very woman household. And then she was all surrounded by men. And I think, like, when I look back at her, yeah, I know, we kind of had this really strong relationship. So for me, it was devastating that I could not be there. And I had to find my own way to release her, to let her go, to remember her, to mourn for her. And I remember the day I got the phone call from my mom and dad. After the call, I just, like, almost like in a trance, I went into my art room. And I had, throughout the drawing lessons that I took before, we had one process where we would draw on top of a photograph of someone. And I had printed out a photograph of my grandmother, which I never got to in the classes because it was so many different drawings to do. And I knew that I needed more time for that. So I had, like, this photograph in a folder, and I just went to it straight. I took the photograph out and I went into this trance drawing for 3 days. And literally my husband, he brought food to me, he brought drink to me, and I was sitting on the porch drawing and doing nothing else and putting the picture up every now and then. I put out candles and I was kind of just speaking to her, being with her and communicating and connecting to her through this drawing process. And so that was the first step where I realized how healing this art can be with a situation like that and with ancestral work. I have not really been focused on ancestral work before. I kind of feel that, I mean, I have a connection to ancestors. I always get, like, ideas and visions and insights from other places. I communicate a lot with the ancestors of the place where I live right now. but it was never like a conscious focus of my work. But after that experience, I really dove into that. And the interesting thing was I already had set up for Halloween that year an ancestral mandala workshop. The ancestral mandala was one of the drawing practices that I also learned during my teacher training. It is a drawing like this we see behind me here, but you can maybe, yeah, like this is nice. You can really see it. So you start with yourself in the middle, and then you go in all directions and draw every single ancestor for seven generations as a circle in the drawing. And then you communicate and connect and kind of get in touch with them through the pen, through the color, through the movement of the line, through the drawing process. So these drawings, they are really about a process. It's not so much about having the final drawing on the wall at one point, even though I find this particular one has really helped me to feel the connection to my ancestors. And when I sit here, for example, I can really feel them in the back, you know, I'm like supported by this seven generations behind me. So I've learned that process in one of my classes. And I remember when I first did the class, it was really, really crazy. I could not sleep for 3 days. I had visions at night. I had the craziest body sensations, emotions came up. I had dreams of my ancestors. And literally it was like keeping me in that space for several days. And that is when I've realized for myself that if I want to teach that process, if I want to pass it on to other people, it needs to have a certain container, a ceremonial container, a very safe space. On the one hand, for you as an individual, so that you don't get in a place where you're haunted by your ancestors. We all know that we might have ancestors that are not well, that have not left this world in a happy place, that may be trapped between worlds, that may be unconscious of even being dead. So I found that for me personally, it needs to have a very strong container, a very strong frame, a very strong like space that I as a facilitator will hold. So when I taught the ancestral mandala myself, it was nice. It was a small workshop. I had one participant, but it was really nice for me to do it in that context, because I felt that it gave me the ability to try out my process with someone else and to get a feedback from someone, but it also allowed me to go through my own process, because it was like a week before the funeral that ancestral mandala workshop happened. And the crazy thing is I had set that date up before my grandma passed. So it was already, I was already in that space of doing the ancestral work. And then came the moment where I felt like I really needed it. And I, for some reason, you know, sometimes the things that you need in life come in the right moment. That was kind of like that feeling, you know, that the right information and the right practice was just here to support me through this process. So when I did the mandala workshop, I actually set the intention of my grandmother becoming an ancestor, as I felt that she was in a space right now where she was in the kind of in-between world, you know, for moving from the living to the dead. And I felt that I could support her in that, with me calling on all my ancestors to embrace her. And that was a very intense process where it was like a crazy day too, because it was like Halloween, it was full moon. It was like very intense energy. And I can maybe, yeah, I have the drawing here. So this is the drawing I made that day. This is
the mandala drawing that you made?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The ancestral mandala.
Yeah, so this one is the outcome of that one session. I did not get back to it. Like my other mandalas, I would get back to several times, but this one is the one that I did just in this one session. And the interesting thing that I realized later is that I drew this ancestor here that is outside of the seven generations. And I used this one, I called upon this one to be my guide in this process. And then when I put him, her, I kind of, for me, it's a him, I don't know, it's like the information that I got. I called on someone outside of these seven generations because I wanted to connect to someone who is not in that immediate network and, you know, not in that, yeah, not kind of immediately connected. Also, of course, connected to me and to all my ancestors, but from a wider perspective. So I was looking for someone who is like really wise. Know who's really like kind of a guide. That's like one of the things that I when I started working with that, I looked into ancestral work and I found the Ancestral Medicine by Daniel Floor. I don't know if you know that book.
Mm-hmm.
It's a book about ancestral work, and he describes that if you look for a guide for ancestral work, you would mostly want to look for someone who is not anymore directly connected to you through the seven generations link, but someone beyond that. So if you want to heal anything within these seven generations, it will help you more to work with someone who's like elevated, basically. You want like the shiniest, brightest light. So I called on this ancestor, and then looking at the drawing later, I did not realize that while I was drawing it, this one is my grandma, and she is directly connected to this ancestor in the drawing. Mm-hmm. So I kind of subconsciously created this connection with her. And that was a really healing process for me. And I actually used this drawing later. I put crystals on it. I put it out in the moonlight. I had it charging for the full moon. So I used the drawing in many different ways. And I did the same with the portrait. I can show you the portrait as well. The portrait that I drew right after her passing, I drew literally for almost a week every day. I just felt like I have to do more. I have to do more. I have to do more. So the only one I can show you right now is the final picture. Maybe at the end we get to see. I made a little video that goes through the single stages of the drawing. With a photograph, it's kind of, it has to be a slow process. No, you can't just take color and go over the ancestor. Like that doesn't work. You want to like very gently, really like first you touch only the outside, maybe touch the hair of them. Then maybe you go around the face. You know, it's like a stroking, you know, you really want to be gentle. So, but in the end, I felt like she was disappearing in my drawing. And that was a little bit shocking to me on the one hand, but on the other hand, it was so relieving too, because I felt like I find a way to let her go. And she like was kind of disappearing in the ocean and in the clouds and in the rainbow. And I could see that I can connect to her spirit through nature. So with the drawing, it kind of like showed me that. So this is the drawing, and it's on top of a photograph. Mm-hmm. So I copied a photograph and I copied it very light. And then I was drawing several layers on top over and over and over again. And so that these are two of the processes that I want to share in our ancestral art series. And the other process that I am working on right now, so this is something that I'm working out for myself at the moment.
Hold on one second. I just want to take a pause here because you shared a lot with us and where it all came from and how the ancestral healing work and the the drawing, this therapeutic drawing, how that came together for you. And I just wanted to share some reflections before we look at the other aspects of the course, because we're also going to do in this course, we're going to do some writing from the womb, which for me has been a very powerful journey as part of the ancestral healing process. In my writing process, I've been exploring the ancestors and the ancestral influences on my life for many years. And my grandmother, who actually just passed away as well, but just this year, just a few weeks ago, actually, she was central in my exploration of ancestry, of my ancestry. And I had several times in my life had a period of time where I was connecting with her and asking her to tell me stories and share photographs with me of our ancestry back three generations. She had memories to tell and stories to tell that spanned back three generations. And then I've done my own ancestral research and followed those other lineages, not the one that she told me about, but other lineages back even farther than that in my ancestry. And I've done through the writing process and writing from the womb, particularly activating the knowledge, the intuitive knowledge and the womb memory, because the cells that started me and you were in our mother's womb when she was in our grandmother's womb. So there's this physical lineage of influence and connection through the womb that's very powerful. And that's not just through the female people. That DNA is also influencing people of all genders have this same kind of lineage. And so it's my womb-centered healing work has sparked and deepened my interest and practice of connecting with the ancestors. And I've been learning, and I've had several different mentors and have been learning different ways to work with, like you were talking about, ancestors that might not have been well when they passed away and their spirit may still not be well. And I love it that you brought up having an ancestral guide or ally, that I call them well of womb ancestors. And I've worked with several mentors that I've talked about that and helped me to orient to and discover and be in relationship with more ancient ancestors from that have had the chance to recover wellness of spirit, wellness of womb, or were well of womb and well of spirit in their life. And then when they passed into the realm of ancestors, they carried that forward and can support us in the process of working with and connecting with ancestors that were not as well. And that oftentimes those unwell ancestors are influencing us in our lives on a day-to-day basis, and we're not even aware of it. And so it's made me more and more aware of how important this having relationships and cultivating healthy relationships with our ancestors in the same way. Just because it's an ancestor doesn't mean it's automatically going to be a healthy relationship. It can often take some work, some reflection, some inner reflection, some you know, conversations with that ancestor and some exploration of like, okay, how can we have a healthy relationship? And so the writing from the womb process has been very powerful and very central for me in this process, in that my grandmother and my mother both have told me, you know, sort of skeletons of the stories of, you know, my grandmother's mother, my great grandmother and her mother and their life and what happened in their life. And I've found evidence in my ancestral research of, you know, boat boat tickets from Italy to California and things like this. And but the real lived experience was something that I was curious about, like, what did that mean? What did that feel like to come to the United States from Italy as a young woman? And what did that, you know, I wanted to know more about the story. And so the writing from the womb process allowed me to access that, that memory that we have in ourselves of what that story may have been like, and activate my own imagination to fill in the blanks, and came forth with some very powerful, impactful experiences that I got to not only become aware of and, oh, wow, it makes sense why I would have this or that strength or gift or pattern or trauma, and even a trauma pattern, because look, my great, great grandmother had this experience, but also to show up with my own presence, my own healing wisdom now, to give space for a healing process for those ancestors, and to offer my healing support, which in, and then in return, receive the wisdom and the resilience and the power and the independence and all the different qualities that in a greater way, the beneficial qualities, the healthy qualities, and create this relationship through the writing of listening to that, those stories, feeling for those stories, filling in the blanks, living those stories with them. And we become, we can sort of travel through time through this writing process and become our own guardian angels in our past, but also the guardian angels of our ancestors. At times of challenge or difficulty, we can show up and be there for them. And I've had this experience in some of the visionary healing processes, of the womb healing processes that, that I've been exploring and experiencing. And then that the writing process itself starts to become a visionary healing journey. And so this is what I share in these Writing from the Womb workshops in regards to ancestral healing. And I'm really looking forward to having them be in correspondence with these processes and these visual images, so that we're accessing this information from several different angles, awakening all these ways of knowing, these different ways of knowing. Our whole body can be involved when we're drawing, and that's such a movement oriented, you know, we might even get up and dance, or, you know, have some singing that goes along in the ceremonial aspect of it at some point, to involve our whole body and our whole being. And then let the stories of the ancestors come through, and the healing processes, we can write the stories of what feels healing for us, and even write that into our present lives as well. You know, just write about how this healing process can be implemented in our lives. So I'm really looking forward to this collaboration and letting that develop, and letting these drawing processes that you're sharing with us translate into writing. I mean, I have pictures of my grandmother that I'm gonna have to find the one. I have one actually that my mom took of my grandmother right as she passed.
Wow.
And she went through this amazing process my mom told me about. She suffered from a lot of anxiety that she had suppressed her whole entire life, from early childhood trauma. She'd suppressed it. She was like a go-getter. She was a very strong woman who always was on top of everything and always had a project and always kept her house in tip-top shape. And, you know, she was a doing person. But as she got older and she couldn't do all of those things anymore, she couldn't keep the lid on the anxiety, and it was affecting her health, and it was affecting her emotionally, and she'd never had that, and it was really getting more and more difficult at the end of her life. And she had Alzheimer's, so she forgot how to do most things, and then there's a lot of anxiety with that, because, you know, she couldn't do the things she normally could do, and she couldn't remember, and things were confusing. And then in the last few hours of her life, my mother told me that she watched all of the anxiety melt away. And it was almost like my grandmother was wrestling with her demons. Like she was moving her arms around, and she wasn't conscious. She was like kind of half asleep, but she was moving her arms around. And then she said, after a couple of hours of that wrestling, she came to stillness, and all of the worry wrinkles and all of the anxiety just melted away from her face. And then she passed, and my mom took a picture right at that moment. Wow. And this was such a gift of peace, because my grandmother, in all of her anxiety, was able to find peace for herself. And that feels like such a gift from an ancestor to have that experience. And I feel like that photo might be the photo for me to use for this process, and really receive that gift from my grandmother, and also support her in any way that I can, like you're talking about, of supporting your grandmother through whatever process her spirit might be going through at this time, and to establish a continuance in the relationship. You know, that's one of the things that I feel like people talk about, grieving the death of our loved ones. And that is definitely an important process. And one thing that I feel in this ancestral work that I feel could be emphasized more is that when you get into connecting with the ancestors, there's a continuance of the relationship. The relationship is not over. Our ancestor is now, this person gets to become an ancestor. And that means that oftentimes we can be even closer to them than we were before. And that's been my experience, is that without the physical body holding us separate, that ancestor can now be right inside my heart. My grandfather sits right on top, on my shoulder, but it's not even like an external sitting on my shoulder. He is right here inside me, involved in and supporting me with the things that he can support me with. And I welcome that from him, because he has some very helpful support to offer me. And if I need to offer him support, I can do the same. And so we can have a healthy relationship. Now, and that's not always easy, though. With my grandfather, and I feel my grandmother, that's an easy process. They were fairly well of spirit as people. But other ancestors might not have been, and you wouldn't want to be inviting them into your body to be involved in your life as much. In fact, that can be a source of a lot of challenges that we might be experiencing, and recognizing that and having some methods to say, okay, no, you don't get to be in my body. You get to be over here, and I will support you when I can, but you don't get to be all in my life and, you know, being involved in my life. Until we establish, you know, some ground rules, and then we'll see. So,
right. Yeah, I totally agree on that. That is really one of the things that is really important for me as well in taking other people on this journey. I think as a guide, I want to offer ways that you can open and close this space. Because as I said, when I did this ancestral mandala the first time, I was so open to it that I could not sleep for 3 days. I was like in this space for 3 days, and there was no door, you know. I was just like, oh my God. And I received a lot, you know, and it was like a very intense process, and I did have the time to process it all. But if I imagine you're someone who has to go to work tomorrow, you cannot remain in that space. So you need to create, I want to, and I do create a container that we open and that we close, mm-hmm. so that we can say, I want to work on this now, and I want to open myself to it, and then I want to close it. And what I find really great about having these pictures is that you have this kind of manifestation of it. You know, it's not like I don't have to let the ancestors go inside my body. I can let them go on my drawing. Mm-hmm. And then they can live in this drawing and I can connect to this drawing. And I, for example, with the picture of my grandma, I had it sitting on my altar for several weeks. I was lighting a candle every day. I put flowers there. So I actually used it in different ways, or with the other one where I put crystals on it, you know. It's like the drawing becomes more than a drawing. The drawing becomes this kind of body for the ancestors to live in, in a way, you know. You can kind of see them in there. And as I said, like I can, you know, when I look at myself with this in the background, I feel it, as you say, you know, I feel my ancestors, how they're strengthening me. And this is the energy that I want from that, and that I feel like you can really receive from that work. And another thing that I wanted to say, I kind of forgot right now.
Well, it might come back to you. I just wanted to also mention that, okay, so we have these three, the first ancestral arts session is going to be Roots is the name of it, right? And this is sort of like connecting perhaps with the family tree. Kind of an imagery, looking at the roots. Can you describe that a little bit?
Yeah, with the roots, I wanted to start the whole series with a way that looks at ancestry, but not only at ancestry, and that looks at how we can root ourselves. Because of course we are kind of, everybody has ancestors, so that is part of our roots. But then also we can be rooted in other things. We can be rooted in a culture. We can be rooted in a practice. We can be rooted in ideas, in philosophies, in like all kinds of things. So roots goes a little bit beyond that. So it kind of involves the ancestors. We can peek at it, but it's not going straight in. So I kind of thought, you know, we want to just maybe tip the toe in the water first and not start with the, you know, with the mandala and go all in and have like, oh, this kind of overwhelming experience. So with the roots, I think it's more about finding out what is your personal relationship to your own roots. How do you feel rooted? And what part does your ancestry play in that kind of system of roots? I actually started drawing a few of them. So this is one of them. It's a little tree and big roots underneath. And I have like all these little things happening here and all these colors. And this was the first drawing I did. And it was very interesting because I have this little yellow circle here that I actually marked fat because I found it so interesting. I have this yellow going here and the yellow does never come up into my tree. So that means there is something in my roots that I do not manifest as a person, that I do, like, you know, it's part of my root system. It's something that I'm connected to, but maybe, you know, it's like I choose to not manifest it. Maybe there's something blocking me from manifesting that. I haven't found out about that yet, but that was like that was my insight that I got with this drawing. So this first drawing is for me very much about just exploring your own relationship to your roots in general. And ancestors are a part of that. Mm-hmm. But it's not just about the ancestors. And then, because I kind of thought, you know, we want to, maybe just tip the toe in, make something that's not the big, big, big exploration right away. Something that is a little bit more general.
Yeah.
And also because it's going to be a shorter process, because in that workshop, we're going to work together. So it's going to be drawing and writing in one workshop. So it's we're only gonna have an hour for this drawing, which is not a lot of time.
Right. And so for the workshop, way it'll work is that we'll do the writing process these always first, and then we'll do the drawing process first, and that whatever can't come up in the drawing, we'll do a meditation to connect even more with that creative center in the womb, and then see what the drawing brings up for us. So it helps to deepen the connection with the drawing and the awareness of what the drawing is bringing up for us and what the drawing is telling us, to then go and have a writing session after that and connect with that creative center. And so we'll do that with each of the other ones, but not in the same session. So the next drawing that we'll have in the series of, in this series, in this workshop, in this course, I guess we'll call it a course, and it's a series of live online workshops. The next one is going to be, is you're calling it the four directions, right? And I've done similar visionary meditations like this, where we look at the four main lineages of our ancestry. Can you share about that a little bit?
Yes, that one, I think I wanted to put it in between the beginning and the ancestral mandala, because the mandala is just so much. And I kind of feel that it's good to go step by step. I even, you know, would like to offer things where we just look at one lineage. So maybe in the future, I'm going to develop another one. So I'm still working on it. I can show you my process so far. I started drawing this, and it takes time to draw it, especially for me when I develop a new drawing or a new process that I'm going to share. Like the way that I'm teaching those, I kind of guide people through the drawing, but I also make sure that they have a lot of freedom, so they don't have to exactly copy what I draw. So that's not what it's all about, that we all make a drawing that looks exactly the same, but that you draw something for you and you find out what comes up for you. So we're going to do four directions. And already, I mean, this is really just the first stage. No, I haven't done any color. I haven't done any more connections. I just went from the center in the four directions. And I'm already stuck with this one, which is my father's side. And I've never met my grandfather on this side. So it's really harder for me to connect to this than it was to all the other ones. To the other ones, it was easy, you know? I mean, it's never really easy, but it was kind of more flowing. You know, I could get into it more easily. With this one, I feel there's things that I find harder to explore, for example. So I haven't rounded it yet. You know, it's like I haven't done the next step yet. And that already teaches me something. So every little step that we do throughout the drawing is there for you to have an experience with it and to have insights. Mm-hmm. And this is why...
Go ahead.
This is why I really appreciate combining these drawing processes with writing, because I always experience that there is so much coming up, and literally, you know, in the first stage of the drawing already I have stuff coming up. So when I take the time, and it's really about taking the time to sit down and tune into it and then go into the writing with it, then I have another way to kind of translate all the things that come up. You know, I translate what the color feels for me, and I have more associations and more insights and more visions that come up that kind of take all the things that are in this, yeah, really fluid and really kind of abstract way in the drawing. They show up in the drawing. You know, I have like this one circle there that is a yellow circle, and I see the yellow colors in all the bottom of my drawing, but it's not in the top of my drawing. And I look at my drawing and I ask myself, what does that mean? You know, what is this circle? what is the message in that? And I think that it's easier to access these messages if you go into the drawing, into the writing process after it, and take more time to reflect on it. And it's so nice to have the drawing in front of you and then go into the writing process. I really, really, yeah, it's like, for me, it's the perfect combination, really. It like enhances the drawing process so much more if you give it the time and dive into the writing afterwards.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm thinking with these, when we're having the drawing and the writing not in the same session, what we might want to do is at the end of the drawing to invite people to go ahead and write in the meantime, before we, you know, so taking time to look at their drawing, not only continue working on the drawing itself, but also to take, if they have some time, to do some journaling, do some writing, and then they can share what they've written in the writing workshop itself, if anybody does that. But then we will have that equal time for the writing, and everyone will bring their drawing to the writing workshop, and be able to look at that while they're doing the writing. So beautiful. So we've already talked about the other two then. So the mandala, the ancestral mandala, will come after the four directions. So we're just sort of building up to the big mandala, and then having the specific one ancestor that we're working with. So this is going to give a variety of processes and experiences and even tools for folks to be able to do on their own, to start to develop their own relationships with their ancestors. So I'm so looking forward to this. And so again, we're starting on April 11th, 2021, and we're going to share a link to the website. Well, a link to the website where you can sign up for the whole workshop as a package. We're also setting it up so that you can sign up for different parts of it if you can only do one part or another part of it. So you'll be able to see all that laid out on the website. So go check out the show notes and click on the link to come join us for this wonderful ancestral arts course. Any last thoughts or reflections before we finish up here, Anja?
I think I talked a lot.
Yeah, you shared a lot.
I'm very much looking forward to it.
All right, me too. Okay, well, and also listeners know that if you want to receive updates about this workshop and other things that might be coming up, you can sign up for the Womb-Centered Healing Temple newsletter on the Womb-Centered Healing Temple website. So go to wombcenteredhealing.com and sign up for the newsletter there, and you'll get announcements and updates as we move forward with all of these wonderful collaborations. All right, thanks so much for joining us. That's all for now. Until next time.